Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a five-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
That's another Saturday morning. This one, the 8th of March, and it's time once again to talk some cars. Your car, your truck, your van, and the problems you might be having with it. ASC Certified Technician from Lloyd's Automotive, Nick Stoffel, is back with us answering any kind of a car question you may have. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
Yeah, I was just thinking, too, that you were kind enough to help our CCO listeners out every week, and you and Dan for so many years here helping our listeners out for any reason. But I thought, too, maybe nobody's having a car problem, but maybe there's a question that they always wanted to ask an auto technician about their car. You know, no problem, but, you know, I've always wondered, blah, blah, blah. But whatever the case may be, if you need to bring in your vehicle for service, but ahead of the game you want to know what could be ailing, Nick will give you a little bit of a diagnosis over the radio. But call us or text us sooner than later. Nick takes his leave about 7:45 this morning, making way for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. So if you have any kind of a car question, we'd love to hear from you, either by phone or by text. Here's the number for either, 651-461-9226. Well, a nice break in the weather for those that, were stuck in the snow or the sub-zero temperatures. Here we are looking at maybe close to 50 today, maybe 65 Friday. So a lot of changes. And what's happening at Lloyd's these days? Still getting a lot of work done, I presume.
Oh, we are. Yeah, the weather's been quite the roller coaster here the last few weeks, but it is Minnesota. It is winter. It is tournament season, so you have to be ready for whatever falls out of the sky or whatever happens. So, but yeah, we've been, we're still trucking along and, getting people ready. You know, as the temperatures warm up, we'll have more people rolling those windows down on those vehicles to get some fresh air, and they'll notice some squeaks and rattles that we'll be assessing and figuring out what they are and why they are and kind of going from there.
I'm looking at a text. By the way, if sooner rather than later, send us your text or phone call for Nick. One came in earlier this morning, something we get from time to time over the years, and it's about gasoline, not octane levels, but the question is basically, it's a little longer paragraph, but is gasoline the same quality all over, I would imagine, at various pumps? But again, not we know there's a difference in octane, but what about the gas quality? Can that be different from station to station?
You know, I know there's standards, minimum standards that they need to meet. I guess my only 2 cents on that is I always prefer to go to a place that's busy. They're running through the fuel through their tanks quite often, getting refilled quite often. You know, you don't want anything that's been sitting around. You sometimes worry about contamination and such, but I don't, there's a lot of marketing out there, and certain brands are going to claim one and then the other, and I don't know how much truth there are to that. I'm sure they have scientists that can prove me wrong or right or in between. So my advice is typically to go to a place that's busy, that gets through a lot of fuel. You see there's always people at the pump, so that way you're getting a fresh tank of gas.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Always a good idea. I'm looking at a text just came in. 2005 Ford Freestyle started sluggishly during the cold weather, and the battery light would stay on for a couple of minutes and then go off. I replaced the battery because it was 4 years old, and now the car pops right off, but the battery light goes on and off, mostly off, no matter what distance I'm driving. Do you think, is the alternator going bad, or is there something with the light?
Well, my first concern would be the alternator, so I think it's fair to say you should have that tested. Typically what happens is that light comes on because it's not charging, or it sees an issue with the charging system. So I think if it's coming and going, it's kind of giving you a warning saying something is headed our way. We should probably take a close look at this. The last thing you have happen is that light come on and stay on, because at that point you only have the reserve of the battery, so you have a pretty short trip somewhere. So I would, my advice would be get it in, at least have it assessed, get an idea what's going on, and take it from there.
I was put on a battery tender on my wife's vehicle. She hadn't driven it for, boy, it was almost 2 months, even right through the sub-zero temperature reading, and tried to start it, and nothing but clicking. Anyway, I jump-started it, started just fine, and drove it around, and it seemed very good. But it's got to be, I would guess, 4 years old now. And I was pricing batteries, and the good ones, Interstate, if I can name a brand, and I didn't realize you could really spend a lot of money on a battery that would start maybe 10 cars at once. I mean, that's not necessary, is it?
No. Typically what I would say is, obviously, we refer to the owner's manual. Likely there's a size or a grouping of a battery for that vehicle. They're all, you know, there's, you know, at Lloyd's we probably have, I don't know, 40 some different battery fitments based on size and capacity. We have lead acid. There's, you know, the glass mat batteries now. So there's a lot of different technologies also other than sizing. You know, years ago, we'd always see the advertising for all these huge cold cranking app type ratings. And that's not necessarily required. It's usually to kind of follow what the vehicle's needs are. So I think a lot of that marketing's kind of gone away. But you're right, batteries have gotten very expensive. There's a lot more electronics, a lot more demand on them. So the technology has evolved, which kind of shows you why the costs have gone up.
And these are good batteries, too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, these were, I know that particular brand is really a good battery. But I was just kind of astounded at what you could spend if you wanted to. Tell you what, let's do, Nick. Let's take a quick break. We have more texts coming in. If you do have any kind of a car care question for Nick Stoffel, by all means, let's hear from you. Either by phone, if you want to chat with Nick, that's great, or send your text, 651-461-9226. We're at 30 degrees in the Twin Cities. Another reminder, turn your clocks ahead. Spring ahead. We're back to daylight saving time by early tomorrow morning. 30 degrees now on News Talk 830 WCCO. And we're back at it, talking your car, your truck, your van, or problems you may be having with those vehicles, and you need to bring them in for service or at least a question answered. Tell you what, I would suggest you head to Lloyd's. Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick Stoffel is answering those questions today. Nick, again, for those folks that maybe would like or need help from Lloyd's, give us the information on how to find you guys.
Absolutely. If you have a question, you need a little advice before you take your car into your shop or dealership, you know, there's a lot of good places around town in the greater metro area they can take your vehicle to. You don't have to come all the way to see us. We appreciate it 100%, but not necessary. But if you have a question we can help you with, please call 651-228-1316. If you happen to be in St. Paul and Grand Avenue, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand. That's on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And then finally, please, please do check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Yes, indeed, I do that, and we will give you that information before Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 or so this morning. Look at a bunch of text messages. Nick, let's get to it. Good morning, Denny and Nick. A rock hit my windshield yesterday, texter says, and chipped it. Are all windshields made of the same material, or do some resist cracking a little more? That's an interesting question.
Not sure I have the answer for that. You know, my only advice on a windshield is make sure you're getting light quality. You know, there's a certain brand windshield that's in the vehicle. You can usually see it in one of the corners. I would try to request or require to have the same glass installed. That way, you know, it's the right fitment and right quality for that vehicle. So I don't know if there's any different types that are more resistant to cracks and chips. But it's worth a ask. So when you call to make that appointment, maybe inquire to see if they can give you some advice there.
Yeah, good idea. Here's a 2012 BMW X5 diesel blows out black smoke from the exhaust when I accelerate. Texter says it doesn't normally do that. It feels like the turbos aren't working very well. Any idea what's going on? I need to get it into the shop, but do you think it's safe to drive in that condition?
I would probably be pretty minimal on the driving. I'd be curious to see if there's any warning lights or any code stored. You know, any time a vehicle is smoking in excessive or doing something different than the norm, that's absolutely your heads-up warning. You need to get that vehicle in. You know, the rule of thumb, if the check engine light is on, make an appointment, get in as quickly as you can. If it's on and running poorly, make that more of a priority. But if the light starts to flash, you need to stop driving the vehicle and have it towed. So in this case, I would get on somebody's schedule early this week, get a look at it. You know, maybe something with the turbo or a wastegate or something's malfunctioning there. But you probably want to get that looked at. Also, you don't want to run that out of oil. So just be very, very cautious. You don't want to take maybe a simple repair and make it into a very costly one.
I'm looking at a text, and I know you don't promote one brand over another, and it's kind of tough even to say, yeah, that's a good one or that's a bad one for you to do. I just want to alert our listeners. A listener is asking about, he or she just spent $380 replacing a headlight bulbs in their Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited. He said, I'm done with it. They want to know what brand is least expensive to maintain and repair. That's a tough question, and I think I don't think you can put yourself in that position. But they also have a Toyota 4Runner that's been an amazing. They're curious about your opinion. I don't know if you want to diplomatically answer that or what.
No, you know, it's I always say fitment. People say, well, what kind of car do you drive? You've been doing this your whole life. Well, as you know, I have a big pickup because I have to plow snow. For whatever reason, I like Chevys. It's just, you know, why do I like Pepsi? Why do you like Coke? You know, there's no, you know, I think if you maintain your vehicle, if you do the regular maintenance, you follow the schedule, the routine, most vehicles on the road will service you and work really well. From time to time, there's a certain engine or a certain model or submodel that has more issues than others. So do your research. You know, if you're looking at a vehicle or a used vehicle and you see two comparable vehicles, but one's priced a little bit better than the other, ask those questions. Like, you know, maybe you'll learn that there's more of a common issue with that particular vehicle that doesn't sit well with you. So I would say, honestly, I believe if you take care of your vehicle, follow the schedule, like I said, most vehicles will last you a very long time. As far as headlights go, that's a sticky, or touchy subject for a lot of people because some makes and models require a lot of disassembly to access the bulb to replace them. Some don't. Some have a high-intensity bulb, which is very expensive. Some of them don't. So that can change within any make of vehicle. It doesn't mean that one brand is always this way and the other is not. That'll change just based on the setup of a particular vehicle. So headlights can be a touchy subject because sometimes they can be $380. You're like, how is that even possible? But there's a lot of disassembly. It's a very expensive bulb. You know, that can be very frustrating because your next vehicle, as they allude to, you know, can open the hood and pull the bulb right out. So they're all a little bit different.
I remember getting my wife's vehicle headlight replaced. They had to take the front bumper, the whole thing off. To do it.
There's some, you know, the line is vehicles are designed to be assembled, not repaired. So if you take that mindset and say when they designed this vehicle was to put it together, assuming nothing will go wrong, which is not reality. So keep that in mind because some of these procedures get very time consuming, which makes it very costly.
Like they say, never assume anything. All right. Texter says this. Hi, guys. My small truck battery froze in the recent cold weather. I removed it to a warm place. Do you think the battery is toast? They love the show. That comes from Rich in St. Paul. Rich, yeah, it's a good question. Can batteries, are they done for sometimes when they get frozen?
Most often, yes. How do you know if the battery has frozen? It'll swell up. You'll be able to look at the sides of it and it'll kind of bloat it a bit. That happens. You know, the water, the acid, it all kind of separates inside. Might it work? I'm very doubtful, to be honest. You know, you can let it thaw, carefully try to, you know, maybe test it with a meter, try to charge it, be very careful, monitor that. You don't want that voltage spiking. So if you're not comfortable trying to redo that, maybe take it to a shop, have them try to charge it and test it for you. But I would say most often, if it freezes, that's kind of the end of the battery.
If you're just joining us, Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive, as usual, answering those car care questions for you. Here is another text. Thanks for the show. You're welcome. I've noticed, Dexter says, there are more and more new cars and trucks that have turbos. It's a good question. Would you describe what a turbo does, and do they require additional maintenance?
So my opinion is, as we've changed a lot of the standards, fuel economy, emissions, we're trying to find a way to produce a little more power with a little less of an engine. So engines have gotten smaller, and they do add turbo to kind of supplement or add that additional power to get us where we need to go. What the turbo does is it takes the exhaust gases and spins a turbine. That turbine then forces air back into the engine. So it kind of like, your turbo, you're supercharging, you're making that air get back in there, which will allow it to create more power. So when you accelerate, if you really kind of get into it, you'll notice that it kind of winds up. Well, that's that exhaust making its way to that turbine, spinning the turbine at a high rate, which is forcing that much more air into the engine, which produces more power. Maintenance-wise, you know, it's a lot about oil. We always talk about oil and doing your regular intervals. If you are not very scheduled on following those things, you'll learn that a turbo is harder on oil, kind of uses it up, breaks it down a little bit more. So if you neglect the oil changes, that can make matters much worse because there's another component that's reliant on oil that could be damaged.
Now you got a turbo, and there's also a term, a supercharger. What is that? How does that differ?
So the turbo, like I said, is kind of driven by the exhaust gases making it way back, spinning the turbine. A supercharger is a belt-driven item where there's a belt that runs off the front of the motor that kind of serves the same purpose. It forces air into the engine to create more power.
All right. Good. Good explanation. Nick, hang on. We're going to take a break, see what that forecast calls for, and then we'll have more show. But if you have any kind of a car question, I'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226 from Newstalk A3O. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. This is the 8th of March. We're in the midst of our car care show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering all these car care questions. And thanks for sending those in. We have a bunch of them here. Let's get to them before you take your leave, Nick. Here's a 2013 Toyota RAV4. I replaced the battery a week ago. Just recently, I noticed the side mirror warning lights don't come on when a car is passing, and the backup warning signal doesn't come on when a car is approaching from the rear. Do you think this has anything to do with replacing the battery? That comes from Susie in Minnetonka.
Not necessarily. When you disconnected the battery, you might have reset some settings in the vehicle. So maybe get out the trusty owner's manual, look at those systems, and see if there's a way to toggle them on or off. There might be just a matter of a button you need to push. If it's something more than that, you know, in replacing the battery, if we had a little bit of a spark, we could have possibly popped a fuse. But I don't think it's anything more than that. I think if you go through the owner's manual or look online, you'll learn that you can reset or turn that system back on. It should operate as designed.
Okay. I like this one. It's a comment and a brief one. Lloyd's has integrity. I've been there. You never tire of hearing that, do you, Nick? Because you guys
are.
Yeah.
No, we don't. You know, we kind of maybe blush a little bit because it's not the – we just try to do what's right. It's, you know, it's not – you know, sometimes cars can be difficult. That's for sure. You know, sometimes we run into some issues that take a little more time than we'd like. But, you know, we just get through every day and do the best that we can and treat people fairly the best that we can and try to communicate the best we can because sometimes it's costly and, you know, getting the parts on time and people's schedules. It's – you know, people can get a little bit frustrated because there's a lot going on in the world and in our lives. So we try to do the best we can to facilitate, organize, communicate, to get people back on the road as quick as we can.
And a good job. What is your opinion, Texter says, of engines that automatically shut off when you stop at a light, etc.? Will the starter handle it? This one is a 3-liter Duramax. What do you think of that? We talk about this a lot. What do you think?
It is a common question because it's a newer technology. In motor vehicles that we have, you know, golf carts have done it forever, right? So, I think it's a good thing because, you know, they've learned that the emissions that come out the tailpipe are at their highest levels at an idle. So we're at a stoplight and, you know, we don't recall because time is, you know, it makes things fade. But, you know, every so often we'll get a car that are, you know, from years ago and have it running in the shop and you're just amazed at how much, you know, smoke and soot and just like how strong the fumes are. And, you know, it used to be that every car was like that. So I think as we've learned and we've improved upon technology, we've learned that if we shut the vehicle off at the stoplights and stop signs or as at idle, and then it fires back up as we go, maybe it does wear the starter a little bit, but I don't know how much you can measure that, especially when you're comparing it to the amount of the emissions that we're saving on. So I think it's probably worth the trade-off.
Okay. A listener wants to know, do torn CV boots necessarily need to be replaced or repaired immediately? If so, do you think using aftermarket axles are okay?
Depending on the quality, yes. I mean, sometimes, you know, there's certain components or parts on the vehicle that aren't very feasible, especially as the vehicle ages, to buy the original equipment. We try to do the best we can or find a like quality part. We spend a lot of time researching to make sure we're trying to put the best that we can in people's car to make them as like new as best we can also. Now, a CV boot, you know, what that is it's a drive axle. So on the front of the vehicle, front-wheel drive or all-wheel drive vehicle, you have axles that feed the power to both driver and passenger front wheels. Well, there's a CV joint in there because those are also our turning wheels. So if the wheels need to turn left or right, that axle needs to flex. And that's what that joint allows it to do. So it's a kind of like a ball and socket joint, a lot of ball bearings in there. They pack it full of grease and put a boot on it. Well, with winters and stuff coming up off the road, sometimes those boots will become damaged or torn. But what happens is that we lose the grease, and that's what lubricates and kind of keeps that axle together. So if it is torn, to what extent we'd like to see or based on the recommendation, but it is something that needs to be repaired. Sometimes you can replace the boot, but depending on the damage, most often it's most cost effective to actually replace the axle as a whole.
Okay. See, do we have time? Yes, we do. We have time for a couple more. Good morning. Texter says 2011 Grand Caravan, 216,000 miles on it. The automatic transmission seems to shift down more often than it ever has before, often on the hills in slower traffic like it should, but now on the freeway on much smaller inclines. That never happened before, only two people in it. Any ideas? That comes from Dick.
Well, I'd be curious about maybe having it serviced. You know, maybe it needs a new fluid and filter. I would also probably check for any kind of data. You know, not necessarily that it's bad enough that there's a warning light on, but if we can maybe drive it, see when we're going down the highway. You know, with a lot of these higher quality diagnostic tools, you can take a snapshot, which is a recording of the data. So if someone hops into the vehicle with that test equipment, runs down the highway, tries to duplicate that drive cycle, records that information, then we can kind of see what's going on. Is there a solenoid or something that's misreading or maybe showing signs of aging? But like I said, it might just start with getting new fluid in the filter, and then that might make a difference.
This listener has a 24 Silverado 2.7 four-cylinder. No problems. 21 miles a gallon over 10,000 miles. Do you see, the question is, any or many problems with this third-generation engine? Does not sound like a big, powerful engine, but not a problem for me, Texter says.
No, what I think, though, like, you know, we talked about turbos with smaller engines. Here's a pickup truck with a smaller engine in it. And I think the reality is that most people don't need the excessive powers or torque or certain capabilities. You know, they market it. We all like it. You know, it's kind of our thing. But, you know, the truth is that unless you're plowing snow or pulling a big trailer every day, you probably don't need all that extra engine transmission that they're equipped with. I think we learned that we can maybe compromise, get a smaller displacement, better fuel economy, less emissions, and you still have the functionality that you need within the truck. I think it's a win for all. So that's kind of, as we go forward, it'll be interesting to see how that goes if we continue with the smaller displacement or, you know, they add a little more of the hybrid features. Or it's always kind of exciting to see as we go how they change the technologies and try to give us what we're looking for.
Speaking of changes, I think we have time maybe for one more. Your thoughts. The question is, do you see any breakthroughs in engine technology coming in the near future? Big question.
Well, you know, I don't, you know, there's been a lot. I mean, I guess there always has. You know, we have direct injection. We talked about start-stop technology. We're really trying to manage emissions and fuel economy. You know, I just hope that as these evolve and as we learn, we can keep with the quality. And to be honest, it really comes down to us maintaining our vehicles. A lot of the technologies have very little tolerances, and when we kind of go too long on those oil changes, allow some carbon and some gunk building up in there, those passages have gotten so small in some of those oil ports that they just can quickly become restricted, which can starve parts of the engine from oil. So my biggest thing is that people just maintain their vehicles, get those oil changes done every 5,000 miles on a synthetic oil. I think you'll find out that your car lasts for a really long time and serves you very well.
Let's do one more quick one. Question is, how does oil weight affect an older engine?
Well, I would say follow the owner's manual. I know as cars have evolved, we talked about tighter tolerances, fuel economy, emissions, the weights have gotten lighter. You know, there's some vehicles out there taking 0W16, which is a very lightweight oil. If you're old enough, you'd remember we had 1040 or straight weight or, you know, but as we tightened up the tolerances engines, we're allowed to use those lighter weight oils because they can still rake it through those cavities and properly lubricate and cool the engine.
Yeah. Nick, we've got to run. I know I'll see you guys this coming week at Lloyd's, but tell us for those folks that need your help, how do we find Lloyd's?
Yes, sir. If you have a question, please don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. And like I said, it's going to be a beautiful, warm week. If you're out walking along Grand, grabbing a bite to eat, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand, the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And as always, I'm going to say, please do check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. Thanks for the help. I'll see you with some treats this coming week, and let's do this again next week.
You want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-30 all-wheel drive, only $179 a month. Or buy and get 0.9% APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN SM808-128. MSRP 27105. Ends 3/31/25.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sounds like a date. Thanks, Denny. Right,
good deal. Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.